You bless those that are in relationship with Faith City Church. Amen. You bless Rhema Bible College. You bless our ministry. You bless other ministries. Amen. So praise God. Let's turn in the Bibles today, to your Bible today, to Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. Genesis 4, verse 25. We'll get into the Word of God. I've got a message today, and it's titled, Try Again. Turn to somebody and say, try again. If you first, you don't succeed, try again. Try again. In the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 25, we see it's the beginning of the Bible, it's the beginning of the days, and we see Adam and Eve. And it says here in verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and she named him Seth, for God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. I want you to see this in some translations. Let me read some other translations. One translation says, and Abraham knew his wife again. Everybody say again. Amen. One says, and Abraham slept, or Adam slept with his wife again. Somebody say again. Amen. One says, and Adam and Eve tried again, and they had a son. Another translation says, and Adam and Eve, or Adam had sexual relationships with his wife again. Now, all the men have, you got all the men's attention right now. This is not a marriage seminar. It's not a seminar on relationships. But it is a message on faith that we need to keep going. We need to keep putting our faith forward. And there is an effort to faith where grace is free. All we have to do is receive. There is an effort to faith. There is a reward of faith. Grace is given freely, but faith is rewarded. And so the Bible says that Adam tried again. He tried again. Would you just look up at me right now? Let's just pray. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that every time your word goes forward, that there is a possibility, if the ears are open of the believer, there's a possibility for life-changing power to come into their life. Lord, I believe today that it could be a life-altering message for those that are listening today, not only in this sanctuary, but those that are in their homes and wherever they are today as they watch via TV and by the internet. And so I pray, Lord God, that you would touch somebody tonight, today. I pray you'd shake up somebody today. I pray you'd set somebody free today. I pray you'd heal somebody today. And I pray you'd save somebody today. And everybody said amen. Amen. And so the message is try again. God creates Adam. And in the story, now and God gives to Adam a helpmate, a wife, a partner in crime. He gives her a chick on the side. The Old Testament calls her a helpmate, a best friend. And we don't know how long Adam and Eve were on the earth before the fall. Some people calculate 8,000 years, and if you're a literalist, or some people think that the world's been around for millions of years. I have no problem with either sides. I really won't get caught in an argument on that. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens, the earth, comma. And then it says, and the earth was without form and void. Well, what did you ever know that God made that wasn't good or without void? So somewhere in there, and we don't know how long Adam and Eve were on the earth. They were given a job. They were given a ministry. And their ministry is to be fruitful and multiply and to subdue the earth. Amen? But somewhere along the line, whenever it was, how long into their life it was, I don't know. But we know that Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit and they sinned. And you know that Adam and Eve went and hid themselves. And God, being loving, being merciful, went and found them and covered them. Isn't that right? Now, I wanted to show you something. Now, this is religion in a nutshell. That when people do wrong, they go and hide. When people do wrong, they go and cover themselves. Can I tell you something? By personal experience, the best thing to do is when you make a mistake is not to hide. It's not to try and cover. But the Bible says that he that covers his sins will not prosper. But he that confesses and repents shall prosper. And that doesn't mean you have to stand up and blab it to everybody. You know, a lot of things don't need to be told to everybody. But there has to, you have to find somebody, a buddy, a pastor, a fellow worker, somebody you respect, and get healing, not just forgiveness from God, but get healing in your life. Come on now. You don't want to go and hide. You don't want to go and cover yourself up. But the best thing, the fastest way to get healed, you might get away with things for a whole lifetime, but all your life you'll still be remembering, you'll still be living under that cloud. He that confesses his sins shall prosper. Somebody say amen. And so Adam and Eve, they covered themselves, they were naked. And God comes up to them and said, who said you were naked? Why do you have clothes on? And, you know, why do you have fig leaves on? Why have you covered yourself? And they said, because we're naked. God said, who told you you were naked? And God, in his mercy, slew an animal. We don't know what kind of animal it was, but God slew an animal. And he took the skin. There was the shedding of blood. You know the story. And the shedding of blood. And God covered Adam and Eve with the skin of that animal. And that is symbolic of the covering and cleansing that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. Somebody say, amen. Hallelujah. And so then we see Adam and Eve, they start rising up. And they begin to walk in the call of God again. And as they were told to go be fruitful and multiply, they started being restored, they were cleansed, they were forgiven, and they started walking in their gifts and callings, and they started fulfilling the command of God, be fruitful and multiply. And Eve brought forth two sons, Cain and Abel. And things are going well. They're being blessed by the Lord, and they love their sons, and things are going well, and they feel like they're on top of the world. And then all of a sudden, a tragedy strikes. Something happens, a development occurs, the unexpected arrives. I think I'm talking about, you know, it sounds like 2020, the unexpected arrived, something negative occurred, a cog in the wheel happened and the toilet paper ran out. Come on now, can't find milk and eggs, jobs are closing down, the unexpected happened. And, they're obeying God. They're walking with God. And now all of a sudden, right out of the middle of nowhere, something happens. And you give your head a shake and you say, you know, what's going on? And we know the story. What happened was that Cain killed Abel. They're walking in the call of God, the blessings of God. They're fulfilling the call of God. They're being fruitful and multiplying. And out in left field, all of a sudden, Cain rises up in anger, slays Abel. And now Adam and Eve are stunned. It's like the breath was taken away from them. It's like they lost their wind to go forward. They lost their desire to succeed. Not only did they lose Abel to death, but they lost Cain as he had to be expelled, and he traveled very far. And so they lost both sons. And I don't know whether you know this, but the name Abel means breath. It means wind. It means to blow. And I don't know whether you've ever been through situations like that, but I sure have, that there's times when situations, unexpected situations, come into your life where the wind gets knocked out of you. I've heard many people say this, that they felt like the wind got knocked out of them on March 15th. And they feel like there's been no wind in their sail for the last 6 months. Are you with me right now? And so there's probably not a person in here that hasn't thought they were here, but all of a sudden found themselves over there because of some expected thing that happened, and it took the breath from you. And instead of having the energy and the veracity and the power to go forward, now you're just sitting there shaking your head and stunned and not really know what's happening. And I think that I'm talking to somebody right here in this room. Even the pandemic itself is symbolic of the breath being taken away from you. You know, when you have it's hard to breathe and your nose gets plugged up, and there's all kinds of symptoms that take away the breath from you. The great philosopher and theologian and thinker of the day, Iron Mike Tyson, He said everybody has a game plan until you get punched in the face. Maybe that's how you feel today. Honestly, I've had days like that. I've had times when I didn't know what was coming. I had times when it just seems like I was going up and all of a sudden I found myself flat on my back. In moments like these, even in the pandemic, you know, the shutdown, financial fears, health concerns, questions, conflicting reports. Conflicting reports, eh? Conspiracy theories. Bill Gates is going to get you. Dr. Fauci's out to put an implant in your hand. Kids going back to school or not going back to school. Do I have to teach them at home? Should I try to look for a private school? How would I pay for that? All these things take the breath out of us. Because now your breath is being used for things that you never thought you'd have to deal with. And you don't have the energy to deal with the things you want to deal with. Are you with me right now? And I don't know who it is, but I think I'm talking to some people here in this building, but also those of you who are watching at home. Don't turn the dial. You just sit there, stop talking with everybody else. Listen to this word because it will help you. It will bless you. And I believe it will help you to get your life back. I'm starting a series on the road. I've got a 4-part series on getting your life back. This is part of it. God wants you to get your life back. How many know he wants you to get your life back? And I've heard numerous people that said it just felt like Groundhog Day for 6 months. Well, let me tell you, life doesn't have to be like Groundhog Day. You can get up and you can get your life back. God knows how to restore and bless and build up and encourage. Amen. But I'm reminded of Ezekiel 37, where God speaks to the prophet and he says, go and prophesy to the bones and prophesy to the wind that breath will come back into the bones. I believe today in a small way or in a big way that I'm here as a messenger of God to breathe the breath of God into areas that are shallow, that are not working properly, to breathe the breath of God into areas of your life that have become dry, that have become empty, to breathe the breath of God into your ministry, to breathe the breath of God into your Christian walk, and to say that it's time to wake up and breathe and take a hold of the Spirit of God and to go forward, and if you will, to try again. Amen. And so, referring to Ezekiel, God prophesies, and we're going to come back to that, but God says, prophesy to the bones. Gather up those bones. Prophesy to the bones. Gather those bones and believe that they'll come back. Prophesy that they'll come back together. And then breathe on those bones that the life of God would come into them. And today, I believe those of you out there that are listening by way of television or by way of computer, that it's time for you also to have the breath of God back into you, and that the bones of this, the church of Thunder Bay, would come back together, hallelujah, and the breath of God would breathe into us, not just how it was, but into a new dimension and sphere of life and vitality. Somebody say amen. I've got 3 points, and then we're going to go back to Ezekiel. Firstly, I believe it's time to believe again. I believe it's a time to believe again. Many of our hearts have been dashed, and many of our desires to move forward have been crushed. And it seems like we've been in a holding pattern for many, many months. I don't know about you. I can say I've been scarred, but I'm not scared. I'm not going to let COVID define me. Come on now. I'm not going to let some marriage problem define me. Come on, not that I have a marriage problem, but I'm just saying that you're not going to let a marriage problem define you. You're not going to let some sickness define you. You're not going to camp here in 2020 and say that's all there is to life. But yeah, you might have been scarred, but you're not scared. You're going to move forward. You're going to believe again. I remember when I had the flesh-eating virus, and I only bring this up to say one thing. That when I came out of the flesh-eating virus and 11 other people died and I was the only one who survived as a preacher, I remember they tried to get me to make God look small and sickness look big. And I remember, and so the news, I said, no, it's not God who did this. God's the one who brought me through, if you don't know that. And, you know, they tried, the newspapers and TV tried to make, they interviewed me. They wanted to make God look small and the sickness look big. And why did God do this? And I said, well, I don't believe God did it. I call upon the name of the Lord. And he heard me, hallelujah. My heart would have failed for fear, but I remembered the Lord my God in the land of the living, hallelujah. But then after that, after being on the news, on the television, both in March, May rather, and also at Christmas time, at New Year's, you know, the highlights of New Year's, it was in Florida and all over, you know, that this big flesh-eating virus broke out, and my face, my mug was on TV again, and then Hunter Huntley called me, and I know Reynold and Ronnie and Ellen and Elaine and David and Gene Mains, I grew up with Reynold and Ronnie. Reynold's a co-laborer with me in Uganda right now. But they called me up and asked me to go on and give my testimony. And I prayed about it, and I just felt for me, not for anybody else, for me, yes, I wanted to give God the glory for bringing me through, but I didn't want to be labeled the guy who lost his finger. Because I've got more in my life to do than just be the, and I want to be known for more than just the guy who lost his finger, the guy who came through by the skin of his teeth. Are you with me right now? I remember when Mikhail Mantela, some of you know him, I'll be up with him in Flin Flon, by the way, he says hello to you and to the church. But when Mikhail Mantela, and I don't know whether Hunter Huntley understood that, but I just didn't want to be labeled and known that way. I want to be known for the things that I'm doing for God and for being an integrous man. And so that was just a glitch in my life. I'm not going to camp there. That's not who I am. I'm not the man with the crippled little wimpy hand. I'm a mighty man of God, and that happened. It's just a little scar in my life. It's not a big deal. And when Mikhail Mantela went through a broken neck, he was on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and he got a lot of invitations to speak around. And at one point, I said, that's wonderful, but I just want you to know, Mikhail, that's not who you are. You are more than just the man who broke his neck. You're more than just a man who got healed. Yes, make that your testimony. Talk about it often, but make sure people know that you're bigger than that. Come on now. We are bigger than COVID. We are bigger than the things that have set us back. We are bigger than the problems that we've come through. And God says it's time to believe again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you still with me right now? Believing is what I allow into my heart. You know, can I say this? There's a lot of things you can't control, right? I can't control the price of fuel, and I can't control, you know, what's going on in the world. I can't control what our prime minister does. I can't control, you know, a lot of things. But there's two things you control. You can control your believing and your speaking. And they are the two things that you have been, it's your God-given right to control, and they're also the things that a lot of times Christians don't control. But your believing and speaking are the two things that you can control. Believing is what I allow into my heart. Believing is what I allow to walk, to take into my spirit. Believing is what I allow to get it. Listen, you know, you spend your whole day scrolling, finding out what bad news there is and all the stuff's going on. Listen, there has to be a time when you turn off your phone and you hear the word of God and you meditate upon the word of God and you say, yes, but I'm bigger than that. My God's bigger than that. He's got a future. He's got a destiny for me. And I'm not going to let COVID or anything else label me. Hallelujah. So believing is what you you put into your heart, and speaking is what you let out of your heart. Isn't that right? You know, in the book of Psalm, it says that God is writing, there's two places in the book of Psalm, it says that God's writing a book about you. And in an open vision just a couple of nights ago, when I was thinking about that, and I'm not, trying to make myself sound super spiritual, but I saw in the spirit a great room with books. And I saw some were open. I saw angels scribing. And I saw a whole area, a whole warehouse almost, if you will speak. And of course, God speaks to us in ways that we understand. But I saw in the spirit a whole section, a whole warehouse of books with dust on them. of people that were still alive that stopped really believing, that stopped really trusting, that stopped really wanting to advance, that just said, I'm just going to put in time until the roll is called up yonder. I'm just going to put it in time until I die, slap it, be for boogie, and go to be with heaven, with Jesus in heaven. But God has a book for you. And there are pages and pages of some of those books that aren't written because in the midst of opposition, in the midst of trial, we stop believing. God says, try again. God says, it's time to believe again. It's time to open up your heart and trust him and allow the goodness of God to get into our heart. Now, the balance of this is this. I need to be informed. I need to know what's going on in the world. I need to know, I need to be aware, but I don't need to be obsessed. I need to be familiar, but I don't need to be frightened. I need to know what the world is saying, but I need to remind myself that I am not of this world. Come on now. I am not to be conformed to this world. I can choose what I believe. I can choose to believe the word rather than the world. I choose either to let the world crush me into his mold and make my life smaller and smaller and smaller, or I choose to believe God's word and let him enlarge me and fulfill my destiny and my purpose. And God says, it's time to believe again. I can't afford to allow the world into my heart. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of them flow the boundaries or the issues of your life. In other words, the more words you get into your heart, the more your boundaries increase. The less words you get in your heart, the more your life shrinks up. The Bible says a generous man, his life will get larger and larger and larger. And a stingy man, his life will get smaller and smaller. And so we see that your heart and what you allow into your heart will determine how big you are and how fast you go and how far you go. Somebody say amen. And it says, guard your heart. And then it says, put away a froward, not forward, F-R-O-W-A-R-D. I looked up the word froward, a froward and perverse lips. Put away a froward and perverse lips. I looked up that word froward. And what it means is a mouth that is not under the counsel, that is not under the conviction, that is not under the constraint, that is not under the compulsion of God's word. Guard your heart, watch what you put into your heart, and watch what you put out of your mouth. Make sure that what you allow out of your mouth is under the counsel, the conviction, the constraint, and the compulsion of the Holy Spirit. Speaking out of your heart, speaking is what comes out of your heart. The Bible says a good man out of the treasure of his heart brings good things, but an evil man brings forth evil things. I refuse to let this pandemic poison my potential. I refuse to let distraction distance me from my destiny. I refuse to let friction fracture my future. Come on now. I'm aware that the situations and circumstances around me, my ship, but I'm convinced that my mouth is like a rudder that will ultimately turn my ship in the right direction. It's time to believe again. Amen. The second point, it's time to dream again. The Bible says, so Adam and Eve, were going through a season of grieving. You know, when Adam, Abel died and Cain was put out and had to leave, there had to be a series of grieving. Now, I don't know where you are on the grieving issue, but the Bible says we grieve, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. So grieving is okay, and I don't want to split hairs over it, but when you're grieving, don't grieve without hope, because then you'll go into a dark place. When you're grieving, you need to be around people that can remind you of your future, your destiny, your purpose. And even though somebody's gone and left you, and even though it feels like part of you has died with them, you're still going to go on. You're going to find your purpose. You're going to find your destiny. And you know that because you know Jesus, that you're going to see these people face to face. So we don't grieve as those who have no hope. I did a funeral, probably one of my first funerals, with a family who lost their son in a drunken car accident. And I'll never forget, they weren't saved. They came in and out of the church, and we asked to do it. And I went down to the funeral home, and just the wailing and screaming, and the wailing and screaming from families, I'd never seen that in my life, because all the other funerals I've been to were funerals of people who had the hope of life everlasting. How dark it is to lose somebody and not know that there is a heaven beyond this. How dark it is to think that things are just over and there's nothing left. So it's okay to grieve, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. And yeah, take time to grieve, but don't make that your lifestyle. Take time to grieve, but don't make that who you are. You're not just the one who lost somebody. You're not just the one who was set back. You're not just the one who got released from your job. You're not just the one who went through that problem. You're not just the one who lost your daughter. You're not just the one who went through that marriage problem. You're not the one who just went through a horrible 6 months. No, my friend, grieve for a moment, but then after you're grieving, start dreaming again. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of Joseph. His brothers came down to Egypt and they saw him. And first time, it says the brothers didn't know who he was. But the second time they came, they bowed before him. And the Bible says, and Joseph remembered his dream. 19, and I've shared this story before, but I just feel impressed by the Holy Spirit to share it again. In 1999, a man named John Osteen died. He died January 23rd, 1999. January 23rd is my birthday. And when he died, he had an impact on my life. I never met the man, never once. But he had an impact on my life because the first time I ever heard anything from him was, it was a series called Confessions of a Baptist Preacher. It was a 12-part series. It was 30 minutes each series. And on a Saturday night, I usually went to bed at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night because I get up about 5 the next morning and pray. And I had a couple services during the day. And so I wanted to be refreshed. But I put on a John Osteen tape on Confessions of a Baptist Preacher. And he's preaching on the infilling of the Holy Ghost in such a way, a fresh way that I hadn't heard being growing up in Pentecost. And as he was preaching, I watched the first one, the second one, the third one. And before I went to bed, I watched 6 hours, 3 o'clock in the morning. I went to bed refreshed after hearing the word of God. But one thing he did in each service, he would take his hands and he would put his hands up like this. And he'd say, at the end of a service, he said, I've showed you the way of life everlasting. I've showed you that if you receive Jesus, you have life. And if you don't receive Jesus, you don't have life. Do you see any blood on my hands? No, there's no blood on my hands because I have done my job as a preacher, a man of God, to tell you there is a heaven and a hell. There is a devil and there is a savior. And if you receive Jesus, you can have life. But if you don't receive Jesus, the wrath of God will abide on you. And I remember putting my hand on that little 14-inch portable television that was on a crate because that's all we owned. And it was on there and I put my hand on it and I said, God, I don't care whether I ever could preach like him, but I want to be able to win souls because hundreds would come down to the altar. And I did that with Reinhard Bonnke. I did that with all the guys who were reaching the lost. I had such a desire to see souls come into the kingdom of God. When he died, just a couple of weeks before he died, he got up and preached. And he stood by the pulpit, and I'd heard this many times through his ministry because I watched his life. You know, John Osteen is the father of Joel Osteen. There's a Joel Osteen because there was a John Osteen. And he would, on the last day, a couple days before he died, the last message, he put his hand on the pulpit and he said, great it is to dream the dream when you stand in your youth at the starry stream, but a greater thing. Oh, a greater thing. Hallelujah. And I've been there. But a greater thing is to fight life through and to say at the end, the dream is true. Tears streaming down his face. He said, I want to tell you, the dream has been true. And I remember that day, and they showed that. They showed different clips of him saying that all the way through his life. And at the end, the last thing he said before he left the pulpit was, the dream is true. Well, I remember that day, January 23rd. That's my birthday. Don't forget. Send me a card. And but that day, January 23rd, 1999, I began to weep. And I didn't weep because he passed on. I never met the man, but he had an impact on my life. But again to weep, and God was dealing with me that now is the time to go into missionary evangelism, go into the Northern Africa and to the Muslim countries of the world. And that day, the Lord gave me a part of that poem. And in my heart, I heard these words, the dream is true. The dream is true. And so I said, I will follow you. I will not sleep and dream on the dream, but I will arise and fulfill the Spirit's dream and fulfill each task that he's called me to, while he whispers in my ear, the dream is true. Over the month of August this year, I felt anxious and wanted to get up and running, and I just felt that it was time to stir myself up and refresh my heart. And it's like God burst back into my heart as I started believing again and started feeling like it's time to go forward. I felt the dream rise back up in my heart, and realizing that we've only reached 2.9 million people for Jesus, and I got in my heart 10 million, I've got to get going. I said, God, would you make that dream stronger than it's ever been? That would you just breathe the breath into me again? Give me the energy, the strength, the fortitude, the guts, the resources to do what you've called me to do. I believe the dream is true. And so I believe for you as well that God has put dreams in your heart. The Bible says in the last days. How many know we're in the last days? God says, I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Are they prophesying yet? An old man will dream dreams, hallelujah. And young men shall see visions. And I'll pour my spirit upon the handmaidens. I believe this is a time, if ever there was a time in history, right now is a time to believe again. Right now is a time to dream again. And I'm here to stir up some of those things that God spoke to you years ago that have not yet come to pass. Take that book that's in heaven. Tell God you're going to dust it off, because you've got something to do with your life. You've got a place to go. You have a destiny. You have a call of God on your life. You're not just here to suck wind, sip coffee, and pass wind. You're here to do something for Jesus. Let the dream come alive. Believe again. Believe again. Maybe it's a new dream. Maybe it's an old dream. Maybe it's an exaggerated dream. Maybe it's a fantastical dream. Maybe it's a dream so far beyond what you could think or even imagine. But dream again. Dream again. Young E. Cho says dreams and visions are the language of the spirit. It's the language of the supernatural. They take you beyond the natural. They take you beyond the now. They take you into your future. Hallelujah. God has a dream for you. You know, I'm reminded of Jeremiah 29. I didn't have that in my notes, but just reminded of Jeremiah 29. Everybody knows Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. But if ever there was time when Jeremiah 29, the whole chapter, how many know there's more verses than just verse 11? But if there's a time when Jeremiah 29 is relevant, it's more relevant now than ever. Because all the prophets were saying, close up, shut your doors, hide away, life is over, everything's done as you know it, the world's going sideways, don't buy cars, don't buy a house, don't do anything, just stop your life, put it on hold, plug your nose, don't breathe, just hide away, get some rations and just hide away in your bunker. No, God says in the midst of that, no, you go buy houses, you go buy cars, you go make babies, you go live your life and keep me at the center, for I have good plans for you, a future and a hope. Somebody say amen. It's time to dream dreams again. It's time to take your life off pause. Get your finger off the pause button. Believe again. Dream again. If you can believe again, if you can dream again, then you can expect again. And the Bible says that Adam try it again. I'm here to tell you to try again. Try believing again. Try dreaming again. Because when he tried again, the Bible says that Eve brought forth a son and she called him Seth. And it's not just by accident. The word Seth means consolation. I looked up the word consolation. It means payback. I'm here to tell you that if you'll dream again, if you'll believe again, whatever has been taken from you will be paid back, hallelujah, because when the thief is found, the enemy has to restore sevenfold. It's time to expect again. It's time to believe, try. If you can try again, you can believe again, you can dream again, then you can expect again. I'm believing. I'm believing, the Bible says in Joel chapter 2, that he will restore that which the cankerworm, the palmerworm, the locust has eaten away. Listen to me right now. I don't know what you've lost during these 6 months. I don't know what you've lost during these last decade. I don't know. It's not that I don't care, but I don't know. You know, say you'll come up to me and say, you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, I don't know what you're going through, but in a sense, I don't care. But I really do care, but I don't care enough to change God's word for you. Your situation is not so unique that God can't restore you. Your situation is not so unique that God can't lift you up. Your situation is not so different. Your sickness is not so great. Yeah, but Pastor, I was written up in the Boston Journal of Medicine. Mine's so special. Well, aren't you special? You got something that Jesus can't cure. Not. Hallelujah. Listen to me. You got to know this. Salvation comes by grace. But advancement comes by faith. And some of you are not advancing because even though, and don't be careful, we can nod and we can say, yes, I'm a man of faith. Yes, this is a church of faith. And you go to a church of faith, but if you don't use your faith, you're deceiving yourself. Your faith will get you up when everybody's down. Your faith will put money in your pocket when other people don't have money. Your faith will get you through when other people die in the storm. Your faith will cause you to, at the end of the year, to say, wow, we really did have plenty in 2020. I heard all the people beginning of the year, oh, plenty, having plenty in 2020. Well, I want to not only can say I confessed it, I want to say I'm living it. Hallelujah. And you can too. Listen to me. Faith is work. You got to try. We labor to enter in to his rest. Faith is work. Try again. Believe again. Dream again. Expect again. And the Bible says, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly and my reward. He's not talking about grace there. He's talking about the reward of faith. Every time you use your faith, Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. I'm not just talking about the second coming. I'm talking about him coming into your life when he sees your faith. He comes and brings his reward, hallelujah. And he rewards you. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Somebody say amen. Amen. Believe again. Dream again. Expect again. I want you to go over to Ezekiel 37 just for a moment as we close. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me. He carried me out in the spirit and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. He caused me to pass by them around them. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, it was very, very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, only thou knowest. Go down to verse 11. And he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. It's the church. Behold, they say our bones are dead. Our hope is lost and we are cut off of our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and I will cause you to come up from your graves and I will bring you into your land, into your inheritance. You say, what is this all about? The Lord told me. And I want to say this, that I actually saw a vision of the nation of Canada. And I saw bones lying across it. And I'm not really going into the visions and stuff like that too much. But I saw bones of the believers scattered all over the place. Some are back in church. Some are not back in church. Some have backslidden. Some are scattered. If you think of all the people over the years that came to this house, this church would be a church of a couple thousand people. And then I thought about COVID and how people have been lackadaisical in getting back to the house. Now listen, let me qualify that. You might be at home right now and you've got a of sickness and you want to stay away, or you're afraid of somebody else catching it. I get that. And you might be at home for a specific reason, but let me say this. I know as a fact, I've talked to many pastors, that there's a lot of Christians out there that are taking advantage of COVID when God says, don't neglect the assembling of the saints back together. And how much more as you see the last days approaching. So God told me to prophesy to this nation and command the bones to come back together. And I want you to stand on your feet with me right now. All over this city, all over this nation of Canada, we want to prophesy to the bones of the believers that they would come back together. Listen, we're not good separated, because when we're separated, we do not have a supply. But I felt the Lord say to me as I got on this road this year, God says, tell the church across Canada, it's time to get back in the house of God. It's time to believe again. It's time to dream again. It's time to expect again. It's time to take your finger off the pause button and come back together and supply one another's needs again. So I want you to lift up your hands right now. Father, over this nation, would you just pray with me right now, over this nation right now of Canada. The young, the old, the rich, the poor, from every tongue, every tribe that live in this nation, that once were in the house of God. Some are backslidden. Some have gone so far away, but I call them back in. I call those bones back in. Some are scattered now just because they love God, but they've just been taking advantage, taking an extra long summer. But God, I call those bones back into the house of God. I call those bones to come together in Jesus' name. And I command the toe bone to be connected to the foot bone, and the foot bone be connected to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone, come on church, pray with me, and the ankle bone to be connected to the leg bone, and the leg bone connected to the knee bone. I command the hip bone to be connected to the spine bone, and the spine bone connected to the neck bone, and the neck bone connected to the head bone, who is Jesus Christ. I call those bones back together. Every dry, every dead, every scattered believer across this nation, I call them back into the house of God. And so he said unto them, prophesy. Prophesy unto these bones. He said unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, these bones I will cause the breath to enter into you. And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring flesh upon you. And I will cover you with skin and breathe upon you in the life of God. You shall know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And I prophesied and there was a noise, and behold, I heard the rattling. I hear in the spirit, come on, do you hear in the spirit? The rattling and the shaking of bones in the city of Thunder Bay. Those that have scattered, those that left with their nose out of joint, those that thought they knew better than the pastor, those that listen to some crazy nut on the TV and don't even know them, but made them the authority in their life rather than the word of God. I hear the rattling of bones. I see them coming back together. I see sinews coming together, joints being supplied. I see the flesh coming upon them. I see skin covering them in the name of Jesus. But then Ezekiel said, they came back together, but they were just a social club. They came back together, but they were just a gathering. They came back together, but they were just there to eat food, bannikin. They came back together, and they were there just to play bingo. God says, he said, but they all came back together. They came back together. They came back together. But there was no breath in them. And then God said, and over this church right now, and over the people of this city right now, the believers, those bones that are coming back together, God said, breathe the breath of God. You might have had your breath taken away from you, but right now in the name of Jesus, I breathe the breath of God back into you. The wind of God. Oh, come ye four winds and breathe upon these people that they might live the life of God, the abundant life, the eternal life, the overcoming life, the victorious life, the life of a priest and a king in the name of Jesus. Breathe upon them now in the name of Jesus.